Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Did God really say? Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? These are the words that the devil, that Satan used to deceive Adam and Eve and lead them into temptation. This comes from Genesis chapter 3. And the devil used those words then, and the devil still uses these same words today when he tempts us. Did God really say, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy every week? Even when you had a late night? Even when it's your only day to sleep in? Did God really say? Did God really say, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is building up for others? Even when someone's really hurt your feelings and you just have to vent about them? Did God really say that there's not supposed to even be a hint of sexual immorality in your life? What if you really love the person? What if it's a really funny joke? Not even a hint? Did God really say not to lie, even if you're lying for a good reason? Did God really say that all things were possible through Jesus, even if you've already prayed a lot and nothing has happened and you haven't received what you were asking for? Did God really say it? See, last week you heard about the creation, about how God created the heavens and the earth and how he created everything good. But by chapter 3 of Genesis, we see sin is in the world now, and sin is not good. Most often, this event is called the fall. This refers to the concept of falling from grace or falling into temptation, falling into sin. And the idea is like this. We were created good by God, and then we fell. We fell into sin. And the reason Jesus came then is to make us good again. Right there where we started. However, there was a great Lutheran theologian named Gerhard Fürthe who wrote once that there might be a better way of understanding this big event from Genesis chapter 3 that we normally call the fall. See, chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, they showed us that God is the creator and we're the creatures right down here on earth. But in Genesis chapter 3, do you remember hearing why Adam and Eve ate that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Do you remember why? It says, the serpent said to the woman, God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. To be like God? I mean, to know the difference between good and evil, to discern that, doesn't that sound like a good thing? I mean, it sounds good to me. But, in fact, what's interesting about this is that it's exactly what happens, according to God. In verse 22, it says, the Lord God made garments. The Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Think about it. The devil said this is going to happen, and it did. How is this not a good thing? Well, because God wanted us to be creatures. God wanted to be the creator, and we're the creatures. For Adam and Eve, I believe for each of us today as well, the temptation of sin doesn't look like falling into anything. It doesn't look like we're falling down, like we're becoming less of something. It looks more like leaping up, like climbing up to be like God. We feel like we're doing something good when in fact we're falling into sin. We're leaping up to be just like God. That's what we want. We want control over our own lives. We want to make our own decisions. We don't want to be told what to do or when to do it or how to do it. We don't want to find God in his words. We want to be like God ourselves and make up our own rules. The reason Jesus came to earth was indeed to redeem us, but not by pulling us out of sin. It was more to bring us back down to earth as creatures again, not as little gods, but as creatures with a creator who trusts God in his word, to make us dependent on God again, rather than trying to be our own God. And so we're called to faith, to trust in Jesus Christ alone. The fruit Adam and Eve ate gave them knowledge of good and evil, which again sounds like wisdom to me at first glance. It sounds like it should be able to help us fight against sin, doesn't it? And yet, the book of Proverbs tells us that the beginning of wisdom is in fact the fear of the Lord. It's not knowing good from evil, it's fearing God, that he's going to tell us what's good and what's evil. To trust God's word even against what we think makes the most sense at any given time, because we can't see all of the ramifications of our daily decisions. We just can't. We're limited. We can't understand things the way God understands them. We sometimes end up calling evil things good and good things evil on accident because we're trusting in ourselves instead of in God's word. In fact, in Isaiah 55, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." But whether we call it the fall into sin or the leap into sin, the situation is the same. Adam and Eve, their relationship with God changes after this event. From this point forward, God's creation experiences consequences. Creatures like the serpent, they get cursed. The ground itself is cursed. And humanity lives from that point forward in a constant bad relationship with God. And not only that, it's not just our relationship with God that's changed, it's our relationship with each other that's changed as well. I once found a family circus comic strip that got to this point wonderfully, if you ever remember reading the Sunday comics when you were a little kid. I tried to find it online. You'd think I could find it, but I couldn't, so I'm just going to have to explain it. So the pictures, I don't even think there are any words in this comic strip. It's just the mom sort of bending over, holding like a broken vase or something, and she's just looking at her kids mad, and they're all standing against the wall, and the oldest boy is standing there, and he's pointing to his younger sister, and the younger sister is pointing to the next little one, and down, down, and then there's a little baby with a pacifier, and she's pointing at a stuffed snake on the ground. And I thought, that totally gets to what the story is all about. Everyone is blaming somebody else. This is what we do when we're caught in the act of sinning. We blame someone else immediately. And that's what happens in chapter 3 of Genesis. Once sin enters the world, everything gets blamed, including God himself. It says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. And they hid from God among the trees of the garden." Why did they hide? Why did they hide? Well, shame, guilt, embarrassment, all these things for what they had done. When God asked if Adam had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that he was commanded not to eat from, the man said, "The woman you put with me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." But he first starts blaming everybody around him. Remember, this is the woman that just a chapter earlier God had given to him. It's like, wow, what a gift, joyfully receiving her. And now she's the reason. And remember, you gave her to me. Remember that? Yeah, I know I ate it, but look at this. Is it really my fault, is what he's saying. And then God asks Eve, and the woman says, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." I mean, again, she's just pointing the finger. No one takes responsibility. And we do the exact same thing all the time. Why did we ask this question? Why did God put the tree in the garden in the first place? I don't know how many times people have asked me this question, because we're just blaming him. He's the reason that we fell into sin. He put it there. I know he commanded and, you know, we do the wrong things, but he gave us the opportunities in the first place. The telltale signs of sin are guilt, shame, lying, deceiving, hiding, blame. They were back then, and they're still the same today. We each experience the effects of this event in chapter 3 daily in our lives. We know God's laws, we know God's promises, and yet we ask, did God really say that? Do I have to believe that? Haven't times changed after all? This can't be relevant any longer. Isn't my situation different? Do I have to do what the Bible says every time? Or, you know, that's just too hard to do. I can't. I can't do it, no matter what it says. And then when we experience the effects, the consequences of not following God's word, we blame God. Why is this happening to me? We blame other people. But really, it's our fault. We are the ones that weren't listening. This is when the mercy of God shows up in an interesting way at the end of the chapter. I love this part. The Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." And I remember going to one of my professors and asking, "What is this all about? I mean, why would God not want Adam and Eve to live forever? Isn't the reason Jesus came to earth to give us eternal life? Why wouldn't God just have let Adam and Eve eat from the tree of life? They could have lived forever." And he explained that casting Adam and Eve out of the garden was one of the most merciful things that God had ever done. Because it meant when they died, their sin, their guilt, it ended. It was dead with them. If Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of life after this fall or leap into sin, after having sinned against God, they would have lived forever in their sin. Forever. No end. Sin would never have come to an end. But now, when we die, our sin dies with us. Our guilt, our shame, our condemnation. And through faith in Jesus, we can live a new life apart from our sin, with God forever. So as we continue moving through the bigger story of the Bible, week after week, I think it's really important we remember these first three chapters and what that means, how that informs every other chapter of the Bible and every day of our lives. God created the world good. He created us good. When we desire to be like God, when we desire to make our own decisions, when we think we know what's best, we end up doing evil things. As good people, we end up doing evil things. Remember that this story is your story as well. We're good people who do bad things, and it applies to everyone that you know. We are fighting against the devil who desires not only to get us to sin, but to keep us living in that sin forever, rather than confessing it, dying to ourselves, turning away from it, and receiving the life-giving forgiveness that he offers from God himself. If the devil had his way, Adam and Eve would still be hiding. They would still be hiding in the garden and living out their lives in guilt and shame for what they had done. And he'd have you do the same thing still today. As the Gospel of John puts it, everyone who does evil hates the light, because they don't want to come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the light of God. Today, that light has come for you in Jesus Christ. And I hope that by hearing these words in chapter 3 of Genesis, that you can see plainly that you are a sinner, that you come from a long pedigree of sinners. But now hear this, your sins, though many, are forgiven on account of Jesus Christ. No strings attached. He is death to death. He has swallowed it up forever. And you no longer have to be like God. You don't have to carry that on your shoulders to know the difference between good and evil, because you can trust in God who is revealing that day by day to you. You can simply be a creature, trusting in his word, trusting in what he guides you to do, and receiving Jesus Christ to save you for eternal life forever. Amen.